Welcome to another episode with the Culture Jockeys. We're coming to you live from the most relaxing room on campus, critically in the eye of 34. We're back again with another episode with the topic of the week. We're gathered here today to talk about zombies. Just a nice sneak preview. But before we launch into that, let's introduce ourselves. So why don't you start, buddy? This guy right here.
This guy. Look at this guy.
You're fucking tired because you're so fancy and it's podcasting time. Your little Apple Watch. A little that nice
I got one for the day, one for the night. One goes left, one goes right.
Yeah.
One goes the other way. Yeah.
We just watched the post, sorry. Yes.
My name's Silvano. I study film and psychology and the intersection of the two, and I'm very glad to be here to be lectured on zombies today.
I wouldn't call it a lecture on zombies. It's a nice two-way discussion, I like to say.
I will ask interesting questions, and I hope you will give me interesting answers.
I hope I can give you an interesting answer. But I'm a big zombie fan myself. Richard Nguyen, by the way, if you didn't know the name. Another junior here, concentrating in psychology. Just kidding. Don't stomp on the floor. But do come on in. Oh, B5O fun. And I also love film as well, so this is just basically the film lovers episode, the show you're missing. Should be back on next time, I hope. But yeah, let's launch into this thing, just straight up into it, right into the zombie, you know, right into the grave, then rise up once we die, and you know, that's what zombies are about. So this is my topic. I'm coming today with this question, right? Like, why are zombies so huge? What the fuck's up with that? Mm-hmm. And I'd like to ask
Can I tell you how huge zombies are in my world? I have literally, like, never seen a movie that... Well, that's not true. I saw they're not really zombies. I saw the second part of The Maze Runner last week.
You saw that?
I did.
You went out of your way.
No, I did not go out of... Here's the thing, right? So I was in Boston. I wanted to go to the movies. I had stuff to do before. I did all of my things, and then I had the choice between waiting an hour and not doing anything to see Everest, or going right away and seeing Maze Runner. And so I decided to go because I saw the first one. The first one was all right. The second one is worse. But there are creatures that are zombie-like. Other than that, though, I've never seen a true zombie film. Because these creatures were not undead. Because that's the definition of zombies, right?
Yeah.
Define zombies for me.
So, as culturally, they can be very different. I think the standard conventional American view of the zombie is the brain-eating undead, right? All of a sudden, I think mythically, they run out of room in hell to send back these guys, the undead. And hence the iconic hand through the grave for the dark stormy night. And so I guess I'm more well versed with the American form of the zombie because I'm a fucking Vietnamese American, right? And so you start back at the whole Romero series. It's
going to become a running joke now.
What?
your heritage.
Yes. Vietnamese American, of course. By the way, what am I? Savannah.
We've settled this outside of this podcast. We've settled that my final answer is Chinese.
Well, we'll have a pull up for all the Culture Jockeys
fans.
I'm
Googling your last name now. You're making me do this.
Sorry. No, we're on zombies right now. You can Google it fucking later. Actually, Google
it's the most common Vietnamese name. Wow, maybe you are actually Vietnamese.
Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Who knows? But anyways,
probably you're Vietnamese.
If we harken back to the good old days of Romero, I think he's what...
Is your name Nguyen or Ruan? Ruan? Ruan.
Because
it's Nguyen is Ruan in Mandarin.
Ah.
See, I have culture knowledge. I don't need the internet.
I could be either or then. I could be both at the same time. Is that possible? Yes, it is. Mixed heritage, you know?
Yes, let's go.
But anyways, back to the fucking zombie talk. I was in the middle of my lecture. Savannah, are you even listening to what I'm saying right now?
Yeah. So undead, no place in hell. Keep going.
Yeah. In a sense, so that's supposed to be a commentary on how, you know, how much society has degraded morally, right? And so when you see something like Dawn of the Dead, you start to see all the vices that people left on Earth. And like in any kind of post-apocalyptic piece of work, it's exploring the morals of people once there is no society left, right? And we're going back to our old animalistic tendencies, like we were in cavemen, and see how we handle that. And that's like, and for zombies in particular, we just happen to have a lot of dead people, making us realize that, wait, who are really the dead ones, right? I think that's, if you watch a TV show like The Walking Dead, it really isn't about the zombies. It's about the people alive. It's about the people who have to, I guess, appreciate the fine, like the little things in life that you kind of lose sight of in, you know, the whole hubbub of ordinary society with phones and everything. And once you're forced to take a look at, what you know, at the horrors of reality and what can happen when people die, you start to appreciate things a lot more. I think that's like the reflective, the nice, actually, what I love about The Walking Dead is its reflective moments.
Mm-hmm.
So zombies are very complicated, but that's generally what I see them as,
mm-hmm.
as a way for society to reflect, right? To reflect on our sins, to reflect on our human nature, right? And so, yeah, I think that's why they become so popular, other than the fact that they're pretty cool at dying over and over and over again.
Right.
And they also, it's a double-edged sword, right? On the one end, they serve as great situations for us to explore human nature. On the other end, they also provide just pure entertainment.
Mm.
You know, nice gore fest, just killing them up, shooting them up. And yeah, like entertainment like that, like The Walking Dead. But they also serve as sometimes arbitrary, dramatic tools,
mm-hmm.
to provide tension. And I think that's also why The Walking Dead is so flawed, because it often becomes dependent on these zombies for tension, when really the show doesn't really realize its strength is in its human characters and its human drama.
Mm.
But that aside, having just said all that, are you more likely to watch a zombie movie?
Well, so, I mean, it's never appealed to me because it doesn't strike me as very interesting. So, I mean, you kind of elaborated on what zombies mean in pop culture in general, but what specifically appeals? So, first of all, what are some zombie movies you have seen that I maybe should have seen? And then second of all, where does your personal fascination with them come from?
Okay. Let's start with the movies you should see that I've seen. Dawn of the Dead, anything Romero really, really has that biting satire and that, like, these zombies are actually hilarious. And they bring out this is one scene where...
Do they talk?
They eventually do talk, yes. Okay. And like, there's was one phone call, right? And the guy's, like, asking for paramedics. And a zombie answers saying... Or like, the guy's asking, where are the paramedics? He's like... Send more paramedics, mm-hmm. or something like that, or in the sense that they already ate them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
It's funny because in an ordinary situation, right, it'd be right. Like they need more paramedics, right? But it's a nice way. It's an alternate form of the humanoid,
mm-hmm.
that we know and love, which mm-hmm. is us, and we can actually bring out like some pretty funny physical humor because of that. You know, like funny parts about the human body and how we move. And how we, you know, because like animals like us, they just don't have operating brains.
They're dead.
But we don't know that. I mean, like, yes, well, they're dead.
Undead, right?
I mean, undead. Yeah, they're not dead anymore. They used to be dead, now they're not.
Yeah.
They function as animals.
Mm-hmm.
So they're us, deprived of our morals and anything else that really makes us, I guess, human. What people would describe... mm-hmm. as human, right? Mm-hmm. Or like our soul,
right? So Frankenstein, Frankenstein's monster, do you consider that, do you see parallels?
Yes.
Okay.
Very much so. Like
he's technically undead, right?
Or yeah, dead. Yeah, he's made of inanimate dead used to be organic material, mm-hmm. injected with lightning, there you go, mm-hmm. alive again. And again, he is an interesting also a very interesting concept, because the whole idea of Frankenstein, like in being the modern Prometheus,
mm-hmm.
and that's what it's subtitled, right? He comes off as what Locke would say, like, you know, the blank slate. Tabula rasa, you come in and you are pure animal, uncorrupted. So what he learns and what he eventually becomes is a corrupt form. He becomes human as the story goes on, in the sense that his creators give him the power or not given the power, but given the ability to think morally, but also to have feelings beyond just wanting to eat and have sex or something like that, right?
Mm.
And that eventually, like, it's...
Right, like, and that's good and bad, right?
It's good and bad, for sure. And it kind of parallels the whole Prometheus thing. Like, oh, humans used to be just simple animals. But given fire, they're given the ability to thrive, but also the ability to destroy, right? So, I think zombies do parallel that quite a lot. Because, I mean, they don't quite follow the same arc of becoming corrupted. Because they just stay... So far, I haven't seen anything like that. They have just stayed pure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's supposed to be a condemning statement on all humankind.
Right. So, it's interesting because even though I've not seen... I mean, I've seen Frankenstein, right? So that, I guess, is the only real, like, zombie thing I've seen. But, like, the way... Even though I haven't really seen any of them, the way I picture a zombie movie is that there's, like, a bunch of them, right? And a bunch of these kind of weird creatures, like, hunting things. Has there been... Because Frankenstein is a lot more personal in that sense, right? It's just this one character that evolves and whose story is told. But it seems to me that in recent years that hasn't been the case as much. Would that be accurate from what you've seen?
Yes. Given the technology and the resources, people, they like seeing mobs of zombies. But very often it's offset with actual singular encounters
mm-hmm.
with them. Mostly one chasing one person. But also, like, there's this beautiful moment in Walking Dead when Andrew Lincoln, the main character, plays the main character,
mm-hmm.
Sees a zombie, like, a torso of a zombie just crawling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's what a beautiful, I mean, beautifully dark
mm-hmm.
image.
Right.
Right. And in the sense that this person was just riding their bike. And now they're just grasping, she's just grasping for help and for, like, fulfillment in this sad existence of hers. Mm. Whatever. It seemed like a female zombie, but, like, decaying, and it's just, he's seeing this, and he decides to put her out of her misery. Right? Because he has this moral sense to do that. Even if, I think, it didn't warrant that. I mean, like, this being didn't really warrant that. Like, does it really matter whether or not this animal is suffering right now? What's most compelling, and I think the reason why zombie films speak to us, is, like, it's because we often imagine what would happen if our own close ones became zombies. You know, like, how would we react?
Right.
What separates the animal that they are
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
from... Like, what keeps them from being human, right? We like to think... In many movies, there's portrayal of the person unable to actually kill their zombified loved one.
Mm-hmm.
Because they often see them as... Or cling on to the idea, the very far-fetched idea that they just might have a soul left. Or there's still hope for this person. So
in that sense, they become personal narratives again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's something personal to a lot of these zombie movies. Not like, I don't know.
World War Z.
Actually, World War Z was decent. It was decent, I'd say. I actually quite like that.
Okay.
But, I mean, Zombieland was hilarious, and it does point to the loss of innocence in children, right? Like, you have... It's very oriented for young audiences.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Did you play Left 4 Dead?
Oh, wait. So that's zombie in film, zombie in video games. That's a whole another story.
Okay.
All right. Talk zombie in video games serve purely as fodder
mm-hmm.
to kill. That's all they serve. Right? Majority of video games only use zombies as fodder. And then, like, it's only been recently when in light of great zombie movies. In light of people taking an influence from Romero, that we see like the game, like the Last of Us, where actually their form of zombies are, I forgot what they're called, but they're infected from a fungi, a real fungi in life that mm-hmm. infects like bugs mm-hmm. and actually turns them into real life zombies, right? So cordyceps fungi. That's what I meant to say, and so. That's where, like, okay, they're intelligently used to, as I was saying before, thematically tie back into the themes of the human existence and
right.
corruption. Who are really the bad ones, right? These animals or these people who've grown desperate and became looters and rapists in this post-apocalyptic world, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Who are the immoral ones? And so that's actually was a video game where it's intelligently, I think, approached. But when it comes to Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead is one of my favorite games of all time. Mm-hmm. And why is zombies so compelling in video games? Because they're so damn easy to kill. It varies. They can either make zombies easy to kill and thus satisfying to see them die, mm-hmm. or very hard to kill. But, either way, the morality there is simple.
Because it's always good to kill zombies.
It's always good to kill zombies. Mm-hmm. You're putting someone out of their misery, and they're going to kill you anyways. Morality there is black and white. Very simple. It's why the Nazi was the perpetual enemy in video games, mm-hmm. up until recently. Then it became the Koreans.
As these things go, you know?
Yes. But the zombie, man, holy crap. And there's so many variations. It speaks to the imagination of people these days when, mm-hmm. There are mutations that turn zombies into spitters, that turn acid goo, and it's ridiculous, but so much fun. And you can have a lot of creativity there. The zombie inherently also puts you in the situation of the post-apocalypse where everything like shooting is allowed.
Right.
Right, and you don't feel
it's back to survival rather than making a good life.
Yeah, or being engaged with war.
Right,
right, with another side, and there's no sympathizing with the zombies. I've never felt that. And there's an
not even with Frankenstein.
I mean, video games. No, okay. But with Frankenstein, yes, of course, there's always sympathizing. I think in film it happens a lot more often. But even with The Last of Us, it's an. You understand them, but there's nothing to sympathize with. They're just animals, right? Mm-hmm. And they're out to kill you. So you don't
sympathize with animal. Is PETA going to come after us now?
Fuck you, PETA. Come at me, bruh. Right? They're actually composed they're half of our fans. Of PETA.
Ooh.
We're actually sponsored by PETA, so.
Oh, nice. Do we get water bottles and shit?
Yeah, dude, PETA water bottles made of crocodile skin.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, man.
Dope.
But with all this being said, are you a zombie convert? I want you. I love zombies so much. They're so much fun, but they also offer those really great thematic explorations of
nature. Come on. See, you're making very convincing points, but I don't. I can't see myself watching the content that I'm aware of to get out of it what you're getting out of it. So. What I mean by that is it is not appealing to me to fight a zombie apocalypse, although I do have a question relating to that.
Realistically, nobody wants a zombie apocalypse to happen. It'd be a terrible thing. But if it did, it'd still be very terrifying. But that's why we have video games. Because it feels...
Right, but I'm not just talking about the games, right? So you're never going to convert me to become a gamer. The only thing you're going to do to me is you're going to make me play games with you, and I'm going to enjoy those sessions, but I'm not going to sit down and play games. Mm-hmm. It's just not a thing I do. But in terms of the movies, I feel like every other story appeals to me so much more that I have no interest in the zombie genre because everything that the zombie genre does or seems to be doing for you. I feel like can be done in better ways in different genres. So the explanation of thematic themes.
Yes.
Thematic themes. Let's go. Yes. of themes and the topics that we've been talking about, I feel like those can be done a lot better in other genres, or at least for me, they speak to me in better ways in other genres. And I am not the sort of person who needs zombies to come at people and then be shot and I have no interest in that. That's just it's not I can see the appeal, but it's not an appeal that speaks to me.
It's just don't you love the concepts, or I guess the image, the feeling, the experience of being pushed to a corner and having to fight off something. Defend off a bear, biologically speaking, but in terms of the apocalyptically speaking, a horde of zombies. Taking the last stand.
No,
there's a reason.
I think I've been, by virtue of knowledge of pop culture, I've been immunized against that because never ever can that scene feel risky to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, that scene where the zombies are coming at people, it never feels risky to me.
But, like, it doesn't feel risky because you know they're going to survive.
Right. Yeah. But so you have to make...
What if they not?
Well, but they don't, right?
But they do.
In many movies.
Oh, okay, so you haven't seen those zombie movies to know that there are characters made to die.
Right, characters die, but, like, never is the ending overall a bad one. Like, characters die. Characters die all the time.
There are many bad endings. I mean, endings where there is an unfortunate... I mean, like, very cynical endings where everybody's just dead.
Mm-hmm.
That happens all the time. Dawn of the Dead is one, and...
But then, I guess the other... Let me rephrase it. I guess it's not just about characters dying, but it's also about... There is... And this is going to sound like the opposite of what I just said before, but there is no way that the story is actually going to have a happy ending. But it also feels to me that the negative, like, no matter the ending, no matter how that situation ends, I don't really care. Because I can't see myself in that apocalyptic situation. All the characters have, realistically speaking, a chance of survival that's approaching zero, right? Like, regardless of whether they can fight off the zombies in this one scene, probably sooner or later they will die. And so that scene matters way less to me, right?
So,
I guess what I would care about a lot more, I think it would be really interesting to explore, like, the beginnings of the zombie apocalypse rather than the end of it, right? So, like, and not have it escalate as quickly. So, what happens if, I mean, like, a lot of the time it's also a virus thing, I feel like, right? So, like, what happens if a virus starts spreading and you can, in the beginning, you can kind of contain it, and there's these people fighting for the realistic goal of not having the virus spread, that would be a lot more interesting.
The construction of society as,
right,
you know,
and exactly, and what happens, so, like, what happens in that narrative as things get progressively worse and worse, but they don't get worse from one day to the next, and they're not already really bad, and it seems like there's no way that we can fix this anyway.
Yeah, right. But there are films like that. I mean, okay, there's a TV show, Fear the Walking Dead, that is that mm-hmm. entire...
That's coming out now, right? Like, that's...
It's airing right now, yeah, and I'm watching, I'm quite enjoying it, actually.
Okay. I might go check that out, because I've read good things about it. I mean, like, everybody loves The Walking Dead as well, but I don't know if that would appeal to me, but yeah.
But the reason why I feel like the middle of the apocalypse, like, jumping in and shit has already gone, mm-hmm. hit the fan... What's fascinating about that is that, all right, society is gone now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you operate? What happens?
Right, and I get that in general, but I feel like there still needs to be a goal that can be reached.
And I think that's what makes the good zombies movies good, because there is that goal, mm-hmm. in the sense that it's not inherently about surviving. That's not the primary thing. Like, explicitly, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That seems to be their everyday goal. But there is something more beyond that. I'd say Zombieland is a great one in that it's a comedy that just happens to have zombies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a coming-of-age comedy, basically,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
with Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg. It's actually quite funny. And so, yeah, like, it's not about the zombies. Zombies just happen to be there as a nice
zombies
external conflict.
And they're interesting characters because
yeah.
they're undead.
Yeah, and their internal conflicts are what matters, in the sense, you know, Jesse Eisenberg's always been this loser, and he finally finds this girl, and, you know, the last girl he'll ever see, probably, which is kind of a funny situation in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the 28 Days Later as a film also has to deal with both the beginning of the zombie apocalypse, mm-hmm. and also, like, what the military... It's like this one... Actually, that's kind of it. That has more to do with the apocalypse thing. But yes, I'd say zombie films and apocalypse films are very well...
Very similar, right?
Very similar, tied together. I mean, like, zombie films are apocalypse films. I'd say right. apocalypse films are bigger, mm-hmm. encompassing.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, but that's... So I'd say, like, somebody make a zombie movie that is not apocalyptic, right? Like, what happens if it's not, you know, like, if... Yeah, I guess, like, explore a more Frankensteinian situation.
And, like... Any horror, I feel like, 28 Days Later, horror is about the defamiliarization of your surroundings.
Well, I mean, zombies are a total uncanny valley thing in that sense, right? Like, it's just about similar to humans, but dissimilar enough that it's really creeping you out.
Mm-hmm. And also, in terms of the surroundings, like, your environment, right? Like, what happens when the city is deserted? What are some things you notice mm-hmm. now without the human element? an appreciation of nature and other things around you. I think that's what zombie films try to inspire. Like, okay, let's slow down life for a second and see what happens. And there's a beauty to a lot of zombie films. It's not all cynicism and killing and ugly gore and all that.
Yeah. Would you survive the zombie apocalypse, Richard?
Would I survive the zombie apocalypse? So you're asking me what my zombie apocalypse plan is?
Yeah.
I can't say whether or not I will. I do have a plan.
What's your plan?
All right. So people are always like...
Give me the brief version.
People are always saying, yo, go to fucking Costco or something like that. No. Everybody's going to go to Costco. Don't go to the big warehouses. Go to like the small general stores that no one's going to go to.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are typically... No one knows exist. Tell the guy, give him like, you know, a nice sneak peek. Give him a nice like insider tip. Like, yo, there's a zombie apocalypse about to happen. So we need to stock up right now. Let's fucking do it. Money's worthless. Let's just stick it out here. And so going to a less populated area is the best way to go about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd also try to find a few guns, blunt objects to make sure the noise doesn't attract the zombies. Now, this all hinges on whether or not the zombies run or they walk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping they walk. If they run, we're all fucked. We're done. Like 28 weeks, 28 days later, dude, mm-hmm. they're all fucked.
Mm-hmm.
but yes, go to a secluded place. Probably something... Yeah, like where you're not dependent upon running water and things that automatically go, like electricity. So like somewhere in the country where they're already that isolated,
mm-hmm.
perfect.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get somebody who knows how to build, things, yeah, like you know, walls, fences, mm-hmm. you know, like bring a fence.
Oh, yeah. I know someone who can build walls.
Really?
Yeah, Donald Trump.
Donald Trump would survive the zombie apocalypse.
Would he though? Like, he doesn't strike me as the type of person who would be very good at actually building. He's good at, about talking about building walls.
He has the money.
He
has a fortune.
You just said money is worthless.
That's true. Money is probably going to be worthless, but not yet. Okay. People are so dumb. And
so you're just at that point where you can still use your money just before it's worthless.
Yes.
Okay.
And Trump, I feel like, would be already tapped into that whole...
Right.
He's a very... Rumor windmill.
Yeah.
He'd be very...
He believes all zombies are Muslims, and so we need to defend ourselves.
So he's basically saying there's an apocalypse going on right now.
Yeah,
we don't even know it.
Well, no, not all Muslims are zombies, but all zombies are Muslims.
Right? Yes.
Okay. Just so we get that straight, right?
Yeah. No. Trump had it right all along. He'll be the one to have the last laugh.
Right. Yeah. He'll be the last of us, truly.
Yeah. I'll be that time back. So what's your plan?
I don't have a plan. I hope it doesn't happen. That's my plan.
What if it does?
What if it does? So I feel like I've wondered a lot. So I've always lived in cities. I'm a very clean, like I like clean environments, right? Like but I feel like I'm a rational enough person that, so here's, I don't like environments that are supposed to be clean that aren't, right? And if I can avoid sleeping in a tent, I will. But if I have to sleep in the woods, like I don't care, right? Like it doesn't bother me in that sense. So I feel like I would be good. I feel like I'm rational enough to leave things and people behind, right? Like,
so you wouldn't bring too many people. That's also interesting. Who would you bring with you?
Who would I bring? I mean, I would try. I wouldn't. I don't think I would bring anyone, really. I mean, like maybe
you ruthless bastard. What about your dad? What? Your mom. Your parent. Your family.
Well, my family isn't here, right? I'm assuming I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Right. So assuming I'm in Cambridge and like my family isn't here.
What about me?
Well, like. You know, so you can either go the lost way and be like, oh, live together, die alone, right? Or you can say every man for himself. And I feel like depending on, so this also depends on do they walk or do they run? If they walk, teaming up is smart, right? But if they run, I don't want to be with other people. If they run, I don't want to have to worry about other people. I'm going to get my stuff and I'm going to get away somewhere where I feel like I will be able to build my own little thing. I'd be like, remember that dude in Lost, the Mikhail with the eye patch?
Uh-huh.
I'd be that guy. I'd have like my house and I'd install a bunch of clever things and then I'd have a gun set up and a couple in my pockets or whatever and then I'd defend that spot.
Okay. Yeah. What else, we run out of food and shit?
So here's the thing, right? If you go into the woods and if you're smart, you can kind of make your own stuff. because I'm assuming this is not the kind of thing where, like, there's dust all over the world, you know, like, you can still, the ground is still a feasible instrument for you to make food.
So you're going to grow your own food?
Yeah.
What about water?
Dig wells. People did that all
the
time.
You know how to do that? You just know how to fucking
build
a well?
I mean, honestly, you just dig. Yeah, it's not that hard. I mean, you know, like, the Bible, I haven't built a well because luckily I haven't had to, but, like, the Bible, in the Bible, they, oh, blah, 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 and his servants dug a well. It can't be that hard, right? I mean, it probably wouldn't be a very great functioning well, but it can probably sustain me, like, one person, me, or you get a bunch of foil, right? Like the foil thing, and you do the little digging, just a small hole and putting, yeah, I'll make do.
Okay. That's a decent plan. But when you go to woods where there's a river nearby, you just...
Yeah, that's also great, but depending on what, like, I wouldn't want to drink out of the Charles River, for example, right? You go into the woods and there's, like, the best spot would obviously be somewhere where there's, like, a source of water, right? You have a source of water that gives you a constant flow, and that already, if you can be by that source, you probably only have three instead of four sides to defend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can, you also, like, obviously food will grow a lot better if you're surrounding yourself with water. And, yeah,
that's very good. I'd probably go up in the woods, too. Woods is generally very... Or somewhere in the mountains.
I mean, it also just depends where people go, right? So if everybody leaves the city right away, I think the city might not be a bad spot to stay in because you have a lot of infrastructure already that you can use to your advantage, right? Even though, obviously, electricity and water sooner or later will stop working, you still have... You know, like Mather, make Mather a fortress, right?
That's true.
You can definitely work with existing buildings and things like that.
Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure people have the same idea, right? And also think about government evacuation.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's also interesting, right? So what would the government do in a zombie apocalypse setting? Would governments still exist? Do you think? Would governments still matter? Right? I think if we're in a truly apocalyptic setting, at some point we'll be in a world where morals probably don't really matter anymore, and you're in a setting where law obviously isn't really something you're concerned with anymore, and so it'll just be savages all over the place.
I think World War Z did a good job of how the world politically would run,
mm-hmm,
during a zombie apocalypse. I think a very reasonable depiction of how that would go. Many zombie films, they often, it's the military just doesn't know what the fuck they're doing, and mm-hmm, they end up, like, literally hurting all of these people, and just someone breaks out and they all dead.
Mm-hmm.
They all die.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think entertainment vastly underestimates the government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think military especially is something that seems to me to be considered a lot stupider than you could probably handle a situation like that.
Yeah, yeah. And they also happen to have some ulterior motive that's quite insidious or something, or, right, like, not very good. Right. And then they end up disregarding human life. But I don't think that's going to happen.
So in World War Z, how do zombies get from, say, the States to Europe?
So it's...
Is that something
It's a virus specific? And okay. Planes.
Okay.
So
planes still run.
Planes are... Oh, man. They're planes.
But then that seems to me like the first thing... That would stop, right? Like,
yeah.
Even in an Ebola type setting, the first thing you stop is people flying into and out of countries that are infected, right?
Yeah.
Like, at some point you're going to say, okay, this is serious trouble. We need a safe haven, and that safe haven is going to be whatever continent is not infected yet that can't be reached. Like, even if it's the United Kingdom, right? Like, terrible food, but whatever. We'll go there.
The Walking Dead's premise is interesting in that everybody's infected. They just, when it only actually brings you back to life when you die.
Oh.
So everybody's infected.
But so then the world's lost anyway, no?
Yeah.
Because, but then why doesn't everybody just kill themselves?
I mean, they don't want to die.
Well, but then you're undead, apparently.
No, okay, so everyone's infected, it's just like...
Oh, so it's
it doesn't have effects. No, it doesn't affect you until you die.
Right, but then kill yourself, then you're dead, and then it affects everyone, and you don't have to worry about it anymore.
But, like, people don't want to die, that's the thing.
But you're gonna, I mean, like, sooner or later you're gonna die anyway. The purpose, like, in that setting, in that Walking Dead setting, I would kill myself instantly.
See, because no one's utilitarian. They're all selfish.
Oh, but even selfishly, like, I have no selfish reason to live anymore in that scenario. Because why? Like, what's the point of living in that scenario?
Most of these people have family still. Yeah, most of these people have or still can enjoy things in life. There's still like something to enjoy. Oh, I mean, like, you enjoy human contact.
Yeah, but what beautiful moments are there in life?
Where, like, the world is a beautiful place. You see the world, and there you go.
Is it in an apocalyptic setting? Is it still a beautiful place?
In The Walking Dead, it's still sometimes a beautiful place.
Okay.
But, like, I think... Yeah, it seems a lot easier to me. It's just functioning and living a way to live. That's also a question.
Right. Yeah, I don't think so.
You don't think so? Wow. Really?
No, because I live with a very clear purpose. And I think... I mean... Most people are probably not as aware of that as I am, but I feel like, and it's not maybe a very specific purpose, right? But I feel a sense of purpose, and that's what makes me happy and what keeps me going. And if there was no point to living, if there was no point to my life as an existence, I'm very utilitarian in that sense, I would say, like, no.
So there may be no point, but there is a goal, a purpose.
But if that purpose is survival, that to me is not purpose. That to me is just, like, the most basic... Because survival is a yes-no thing, right? Either you survive or you don't. It's not a goal in that sense. It's a goal, but it's not... You can't... It's binary, right? Either you survive or you don't. And I feel like that's not satisfying to me. There are also
different ways of surviving. So it's not... I mean, like, okay, yeah, I get what you mean. That by principle, it's you have to live or you die. Huh. That's very interesting.
Because I think long term, right? I think about more than just my life, and I think about the world in like 100 years when I'm probably dead. Like,
but there's the hope that you can survive, and that you can start a new community.
But how? Society. What? How is that ever going to work if everybody turns into a zombie when they die?
You kill them. You just shank them in the head.
How do you kill zombies?
You shank them in the head. So when they die, you just shank them in the head. And then they don't turn around.
Okay.
Right? Or that's in The Walking Dead. So then, we're operating by The Walking Dead rules.
But then why doesn't that happen? Why does the zombie apocalypse even start?
So people don't know that. So, like, people don't understand the virus.
Yeah, but you find out quickly, I presume.
But we find out. We find out only because they happen to go to the CDC... And, like, some researcher was doing work on that, and he's like, oh, I found this problem.
That is also, that just strikes me as incredibly unlikely. Like, if there is a way to prevent this from happening, everybody will know very soon.
But he only found that out after it happened. Like, he's isolated himself within the CDC to research.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when everyone's gone and the communications are shut off, he finds this one.
Why are communications shut off? I should just watch The Walking Dead, apparently. But I would probably sit there watching and thinking, like, yeah, you people are being very stupid.
But the thing is, like, we're all of these movies in the beginning when it first breaks out, we all assume that they're naive and there's no such thing as a zombie in that culture. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's why...
Wait, so the people in The Walking Dead assume that there's no such thing as zombies in The Walking Dead?
Well, not before it actually happens. Like, I mean, I think diegetically, we assume... that there's no such thing as a zombie in that culture, and they call them walkers after they, like, oh, they're the undead now, and they're walkers. They're out to kill us.
Yeah, but then you do something about that, right? Like,
yes, but, like, it still gets out of control because some people just... They're loved ones. Like, people hold...
Yeah, love kills people. I mean, love saves people in Interstellar, but love apparently also kills people. And I feel like I would be very good at, like, getting rid of that part of my life. Like, I would...
So you're your dad because of zombies.
Surviving instinct.
What if your dad gets bitten?
Yeah, dude, like, sucks to be him and sucks to be me because my dad has just turned into a zombie. But obviously the only right thing to do is to whatever, like, do the thing that doesn't make him into a zombie but kills him. He's not going to come back.
So,
like,
you're
going to
kill him. You're
going to
kill him.
Yeah, he's not going to come back. I mean, obviously that's the only rational thing to do.
But, like, it's still, like, yeah.
I'm a very, very utilitarian person in those
terms. But, like, we benefit from knowing what zombies are.
Right. But I guess that's what I'm saying, right? Like, you put all your energy into finding out. And I feel like, I mean, I don't know what the zombies in The Walking Dead look like, but I feel like you would know. Like, you're there, it will become, even if, like, assuming your dad is the first person, like, that really sucks. And maybe then you're like, yeah, maybe we can find a cure. Like, maybe you can make this work. But, like, as soon as things get even a little bit worse and there's, like, a chance of an apocalypse happening, obviously the only right thing to do is kill people who die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, truly kill people who die.
So, would you still kill yourself?
It depends on what the setting is. So, if the apocalypse is underway, yes. If in the very beginning, no. Because, I mean, so it's, do I know at that point that everybody's infected?
You don't know. You have no idea.
Okay. So, like, in that scenario, probably not. As soon as I know that everybody's infected...
But you'll never know if everybody's infected or not. You never know if there's going to be survivors on the West Coast or if there's someone in Europe.
But why, how do I not know?
Communications just get fucked up.
How? Why? Like, what? That is, like... If, honestly, like, fuck water because you can always find water. Like, okay, here's the three
most... You can always find water.
Yeah. No, you can't. Like, I'm pretty sure you'd be able to find water in the world somewhere, right? Like, if you get out of the city. The most important things in like, apocalyptic scenarios are obviously communication and then... So, I mean, maybe... So, water, food, obviously, right? But, like, then the first thing you protect that has anything to do with anything but your most utterly needed survival things is communication with other people.
See, like, the thing is, in these situations, I think... What we're not realizing that it all happens very gradually, in the sense that we think we're safe.
No, but that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, if it happens so gradually, like, people... I feel like people should be more aware. I feel like... I mean, yes, I understand, like, if it happens gradually and that's why people are not aware, but I feel like I would go the opposite way and be like, this is obviously going to happen, right? Same, but I always... Then again, I always wonder that about emergency situations, right? Like, so, looking at you know, like, terrible, terrible things like 9/11, I feel like, in retrospect, on that day, like, in the emergency steps that were taken, a lot of those things seemed very strange to me, you know? Like, telling people for the longest time to stay in the second tower, and even just communication between the planes and, like, ground forces and stuff. Communication between forces in general is terrible. It was terrible. It was awful. And that always just strikes me as very strange because I feel like, you know, like if I was president of the United States or of any country, really, I would have a plan for emergency apocalypse situations.
They do? It is confirmed the Pentagon has written up a plan for a zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. That's smart. That strikes me as something that should happen.
Yeah. But say, hypothetically, that it doesn't work the way they plan, right? They evacuate people because the government will... actually enforce this, right? Mm-hmm. If anything does happen, they will probably hurt people. The first, they'll tell them to stay in their homes. That's really fucking stupid.
I don't know. It depends. Like, depends on the situation.
But it's out of their control. And what if their zombie walks around? People don't have no idea. You know, you never know. And, like, killing something isn't easy for people. It's, like, it's not as easy. Like, try taking a life. Even if it is a zombie. And you don't know. I mean, if it is a zombie and you don't know it's a zombie, like, how do you know?
Do the zombies in The Walking Dead, do you see that they're undead?
So not at first. I mean, unless there's like blood, but like you can you might probably think they're psychotic or they're bleeding or something like that, right? Like they don't decay. Like humans.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. They decay normally, but at first, like if someone's just recently infected, right. How do you know?
Right.
And taking that life, like, it's not easy. It's not easy.
Sure.
And what if you're wrong?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, at that point, it becomes a question of chances, right? Like, so how much do I know in this scenario? Am I a person who is aware that there is like a legitimate risk? Like, so in the scenario where the government tells me to stay in my home, but there is, I know that there's a zombie type thing running around. Like, whoever comes uncalled to my home is just stupid and deserves to die. Right, like
a burglar is like, oh, you,
yeah. Oh, I mean, honestly, like, you're pretty stupid. Like, if you're willing to take on that risk, like, even if you're my friend and you come sneaking into my house, like, that's
you're gonna shoot. So I sneak into your house, you're gonna shoot me.
Well, I mean, you're pretty stupid, and I'd feel really bad.
What if
like,
it was an emergency situation, like your dad was dying, and I was like, I need to warn you.
My dad was dying. Need to warn me.
Or I can tell you that your dad is dying.
It's like, this is a very strange situation. I will probably know my dad is dying before you do.
You never know. You never know.
No, I do never know. But why would you tell? Like, I just assume people are rational enough to not be stupid.
I guess I'll ring your doorbell.
Yes. Please, give you please do ring my doorbell. Please text me before you come.
Okay.
But tweet me if you want. Dude, set me hashtag, an Instagram photo.
Hashtag dying. Hashtag danger.
Okay, let's wrap this up. What is your random musing for this week?
So it was kind of like, what would you do in a zombie apocalypse? But I can switch up my musing.
Okay, please do.
All right, my random musing is, if you had to take 5 films to an island,
mm-hmm.
what would they be?
5 is a good number because 5 gives you some playroom. I would definitely take Fight Club. No questions asked.
So I did not know your favorite movie was Fight Club.
Oh, Fight Club is so hard, my favorite. I watch it like every 8 weeks or so.
Really?
Yeah. For the past 2 years, I've probably seen it a dozen times, if not more.
So why Fight Club?
The reason I love Fight Club so much is, it's a great narrative. I really love that plot twist, spoiler alert, and for a movie from like 1999. But I feel Fincher executed that incredibly well. Like, it is one of the, it's there's some gorgeous CGI for 1999, and every time I see it, there's something new that I find in it, because there's so many little details, starting with the little flashes of Brad Pitt in the movie, which everybody probably knows about, but smaller things like remember that hotel scene where Norton flips up like the mint and pops it in his mouth, and there's like the hotel video, like, welcome, Brad Pitt is in that little movie, right? So things like that. And some of these things I read about online, some of these things I found out myself, like, in the car crash. So first of all, the person who comes to Louis Tavern and says, like, your car, Mr. Durden or whatever, that person looks at Norton and not at Brad Pitt. And then Brad Pitt is obviously in the driver's seat and Norton in the passenger seat, but Norton is pulled out of the car on the driver's seat side, right? So crazy things like that, where he just plays with that idea of and now I'm actually going to spoil the movie, of Durden and, like, Jack and Norton being the same character. Like, he does that, he executes that so well. And it especially when I show it to people, right? I show people, because a lot of people haven't seen Fight Club. I show the movie to people for the first time, and that's just, I'm just always so happy. Like, when that plot twist is coming up, right? And, like, Brad Pitt sits in that chair in that hotel room, like, I'm just so, yes. It is just so good.
Excellent.
I really love that movie. Then I would probably take The Dark Knight, because it's long and great. Although, I might reconsider, I might take Memento instead, because I probably wouldn't want to take 2 Nolan films. Probably, and I would definitely take Memento over The Dark Knight, because I feel like you can get more out of Memento when you're watching it again and again. Then I would probably take Mulholland Drive, because that's also the kind of movie where you can just theorize about its meaning and find new things all the time. That's 3. Then I would take Silence of the Lambs.
Wow.
I think. Because I also really, really like that film. Those are all really dark.
Yeah, no, I was just saying,
I have a very dark taste in movies. On an island, I probably need something fun. I might take
Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, Lilo and Stitch. I might take a Pixar film. I might take Pixar, sorry. I might take The Incredibles.
Ah, because there's an island in The Incredibles.
That's smart. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Maybe, but The Incredibles is also, for a Pixar film, it's very dark. I would probably take Monsters, Inc.
What?
I love Monsters, Inc.
Of all the Pixar movies, you take Monsters, Inc.
Big fan
Monsters
of
Inc.
Monsters, Inc.
Wow, interesting. I take WALL-E. If I were to take a Pixar film, I'd take WALL-E.
Yeah. I can see why, but I'm not as obsessed with WALL-E as other people are. Let me really quickly check my IMDb lists.
Is that 4?
Just to make sure. I think that was 5. So I would take... Hold on, let me sort by rating. I would take Fight Club. I would take Memento. To Silence of the Lambs. And Monsters, Inc., probably. And then I might actually take... and Mulholland Drive. Yeah. That's five.
So, final answer. When that happens, you can only take those five movies. I wouldn't force that. I will make sure those are the only five.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. Judging from the movies I've seen. I haven't seen a couple of films that I would potentially maybe consider taking.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, in general, right now, those would be my five films. Mm-hmm. Although, I might consider taking something I haven't seen as much. So, like, I might consider, instead of taking Silence of the Lambs, I could potentially consider taking, like, Bicycle Thieves.
Oh.
Or, like...
You don't want to take Bicycle Thieves, trust me.
I really like Bicycle Thieves.
I mean, I love Bicycle Thieves. But I don't think that's... I don't know.
I think it's super interesting. I think it's... It would be quite interesting to take that. Something like that. Something I haven't seen as much, but I would probably decide in the moment and be like, Also, I might, In the Mood for Love would also, I feel like, be a good one. Although that's also very depressing.
Really,
I
just really like,
like dramatic movies. I don't find a lot of movies very funny. Like, I don't find funny movies, like, I'll watch a funny movie, but I'll forget it instantly, you know? Like, they don't speak to me nearly as much as dramatic movies.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. You seem to also value rewatchability.
Oh, totally. Because on an island, that's all you do, right? if you can only take five films, you only see those five films ever, right? That's what I'm assuming. That's my condition.
Like, rewatchability in the sense that...
You get more else.
The movie itself is an evolving process.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's very important to me. Yeah, for sure. Though, or at least those are the movies that tend to speak to me the most. Just because I feel like if you put so much care into it that I enjoy the movie on first watch, but I can get something else out of it the second and third time I see it. I feel like that's the true craft of filmmaking to me.
Because, like, I think you can have that in a film, like, in a sense that you see, because I think it's we're going to different things. Like, I think a lot of films can be, you can get a lot out of each of them every time you see them. Mm-hmm. But there are just some films that are also just puzzles in and of themselves. Like,
right, and
they pose like a conceit that you have to figure out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a puzzling movie in that sense, where something like Memento, right? Which is obviously a very puzzly film. Like,
there's a cipher.
I don't think I ever, it's a little unclear, you know, it's like the wobbling Inception totem. But in general, I was never truly, like, completely confused by Memento, even the first time I saw it. But
to comprehend it, it takes very active
watching. Right, exactly. It takes active watching, and that's something that appeals to me. But also, I feel like every movie that is that kind of puzzling movie, so like Memento and Mulholland Drive, are two obvious examples. I feel like they make for automatic rewatchability, because you want to see it again, and you want to look at the pieces that you saw in the beginning again, and be like, okay, I can see how those fit in. And especially in a movie like Mulholland Drive that very, very clearly does not have an answer. Like, there's websites devoted to all the different kinds of answers that people have to that film. In that kind of film, especially Mulholland Drive, I would enjoy having on the island because I could watch it again and again and again. And, you could make lists of all the shots and all the scenes and rearrange them and do crazy things like that. And that would be a lot of fun to me.
Yeah. It's interesting because, like, they're pretty much all dark.
Yeah, oh yeah, all of my favorite films are dark.
And your island paradise, you're just, like, inside, you're like, oh.
Yeah, no, but I, like, those, so a movie like Fight Club, right, it just makes me so happy because in like, a really weird sense, that, like, the message doesn't speak to me at all. I'm not a Fight Club person in that sense. I'm not, like, we need to get to our roots and be man and whatever. That does not speak to me, but everything on a meta level almost about that film is just makes my heart go wild. Like, I get so excited about it and I can look at it and be like, yes, like, when his apartment is blown up, I can see the yin and yang table they were talking about before. And that just, like, Fincher took so much care of this movie and it's gorgeous and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Awesome. What are your five films?
So I'm going to spitball here. I'd love to take more, right? Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't?
Oh, yeah, of course. The more the merrier.
Yes. I think to have the film that I know will be very rewatchable is Tree of Life.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it.
No, my friend, Tree of Life is sublime.
Don't tell me too much about it.
I'm not going to tell you too much about it. But it's
the Tree of Life, the Brad Pitt one.
Yeah, and it's all about the imagery and what that means. Mm-hmm. It doesn't tell you what it means. It's like you can decide for yourself what this means.
Has been added to the list, dude.
Great. And that's the beauty of Malick, right? It's visual poetry.
Mm.
Everything is abstracted. It can be abstracted into anything you want. But also, I take very great value in films that use good music. And I think, technically, by having this movie, I also have the music on this island.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some great classical music, like Moldau, mm-hmm. this by Smetana, you know. Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I want to see this on my island paradise. Number two, Dos, Blade Runner.
Interesting.
Without a doubt. In the same way, it's also sort of a puzzle mm-hmm. to watch, right? Like, it's what's going on with these androids, right? And Harrison Ford is trying to solve a mystery, but it also leaves a lot to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of shots of just him thinking, and you're wondering, what does this mean?
Right.
And it's also a beautiful world. I also very much value what world or place that I'm being put in that's not this desert island. In Tree of Life, it's Americana. In Blade Runner, it's cyberpunk Los Angeles right. in the future. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing.
Right.
I'm going to have to go with another Ridley Scott here, and that's Kingdom of Heaven.
You and that movie, dude. Take Kingdom of Heaven.
It's also 3 hours long, so...
Just take it.
You know? Yeah. There you go.
Sure.
Also, great music in that movie. And I'm going back to the Crusade. It's wonderful. That's another place I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're getting a lot of variety, which I can understand why you like that. Yeah.
Mm. Four. Number four. I have to go with my favorite rom-com of all time, When Harry Met Sally.
Mm-hmm.
I was between When Harry Met Sally and Casablanca.
Mm.
I love Casablanca. But... there's something too austere about Casablanca. Like When Harry Met Sally is just something that you can always be in the mood for. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And since that's just so casual.
Right.
It's very casual.
Right.
And it is more about getting to know and hang out with Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan. And when I'm on a desert island by myself, I just want to spend time with people. And that's, you get more of a sense of hanging out with somebody when you watch When Harry Met Sally than when you do with Casablanca.
Sure.
Right.
I can see that.
Yeah. Number five. Well, I got some good variety, don't I?
You do,
that's
yeah.
pretty decent variety. Ooh, number five. This is a tough one. I don't know. It'd have to be... I could see you.
So I was thinking you would say something like Star Wars or Jurassic Park. Like one of those.
Because the thing is, Star Wars, you can't watch in isolation. You need all of them.
You think so? First of all, you only need the original trilogy.
I mean, like, you by that, I mean, like, all three. Trilogy. All three movies.
Okay, thank you. Second of all, I feel like, especially episode 5, is very watchable by itself. Because you know the other ones, right? Like, it's not you're going to forget just because you're on a desert island.
But you'd like to. And that's the thing. I don't want
that's
to feel
that's probably true.
You know, it's like, I want to see what happens before. I want to see what happens after. You know, it just it reminds you of what you're missing out on.
Mm-hmm. And then you're going to want to see Force Awakens and you're on a desert island and it hasn't come out yet. And you're just always going to be reminded of the fact that you haven't seen it yet.
So Star Wars is like one of those rabbit holes. You mm-hmm. just, you go back into the world and you just want to see more of it.
Right.
It's a positively reinforcing feeling. And it's kind of terrible.
Sure.
When you don't have that available, right? But I say, because I think I need an obligatory Spielberg, because I think Spielberg is one of my favorite directors, right? Hmm.
I think he's overrated.
But he's not.
Let me rephrase it. I think he's overrated in recent years.
Yes, he's definitely
And
not.
He puts his name on just everything.
I think he isn't like, I want my name on that. People are like, I want your name on this.
No, exactly. But he lets that happen, right? And that, to me, also says something.
Yeah. I mean... he's very successful for a reason. He's like one of the best classical filmmakers.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not like. I don't mean to disrespect and like take down his work.
But you are.
He's done some great work.
Yeah,
but I'm saying
his past work is much better than his most recent. I think it was overrated as fuck.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. So overrated. Are you kidding me? Catch Me If You Can. Like that was a good one. Like I don't think he's. It's just I. In this time and age,
his best work is past him. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I think in this time and world, when people want irony and subversion, like he's just not. Yeah, he's out of his time right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like back then was when he was really making the movies that people wanted to see.
Right.
But I say Jurassic Park. Wait, fuck, sorry, no, fuck it. Wizard of Oz is on there.
Really?
Wizard of fucking Oz is, yes. Yes.
I am not a fan of Wizard of Oz at all.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
It's a movie, like, it happens. People like it. I don't get it. It's okay.
People love it.
Yeah,
I
yeah
love
people
it.
Do. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
one of the
go ahead,
first movies
it.
I've ever seen. This is what ignited my love of film.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You got great tunes, you know? You got great visuals. It's, and it's just so heartwarming. You don't like it because it's hot. It's good. It's feel good.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, like, feel good movies just are not particularly appealing to me, I guess. It's like, yeah, I'll watch a feel good movie. I'll feel good. But then, you know, then I want to think about shit. And then I'll go watch a serious movie.
But, like, feel good movies also give you a lot to think about.
Yeah, but they give you a lot to think about in positive ways, right?
Yeah.
And that's not as interesting to me. I like to think about difficult problems that I feel like the movies that I watch don't necessarily give me answers in that sense. Where feel-good movies provide you with happy endings, and I feel like the happy endings will not happen to me because it's a movie and my life is not a movie, fortunately, I think. But I'd rather be confronted with hard questions and not get an answer and be forced to think about dark stuff. Then, like, watch a movie and feel good about it and kind of forget about it. Because that's what happens to me when I watch feel good movies.
Yeah. So, I'll say two things. One, to finish off my thing about Wizard of Oz, I do think it'd be a great island film because it is inherently about home.
Aww.
And what else inspired you to think about home and yearn for it? Then,
right.
Movie about that, right?
No, and if you love the film, right, like,
yeah,
take it.
Two, this whole thing about dark.
Light. We should talk about this some more sometime.
We should. It's interesting because, like, we live in a time of irony where people really want to be left unnerved and they want darkness and they often correlate it with quality when it's, like, not true.
Mm-hmm. Right? No, and I agree with that. I'm not at all saying that, like, Wizard of Oz is a bad movie, that feel-good movies in general are bad movies. I'm just saying, to me personally, I will remember films that have. It doesn't even necessarily have to be dark. It just has to... I mean, I guess that kind of comes with it automatically, but I could see versions of certain films that would also very much appeal to me. And because I think it's not dark at all to say, like, I do not have an answer for this, or there is kind of an indeterminate ending here, or, like, bad shit happens, but good shit happens as well, right? And that is what appeals to me. And it's... In that sense, it's also kind of a realistic outlook onto the world, because, like, feel good movies are obviously very positive, but it's not always positive. And I like some movies that are pretty negative, but that's also not always true. And I guess, like, striking a middle ground can also be very interesting to me.
Yeah.
You have to be careful to then still make it interesting. And I don't mean realistic in the sense that realistic things happen in the movie. I'm just saying that, like, you explore realistically you explore two sides of an argument, for example, right?
Mm.
And you can do that in a very artistic and not physically or story-wise realistic way, but still have something that is grounded in reality, in its assumptions and in its thoughts.
Good answer. Sweet. Amazing. Well, so much for a short episode this week, guys. Savano was telling me, hey, I'm going to keep it short this time, bro. Ha! Gotcha. Gotcha.
Got him.
Yeah. So, everybody, thank you for joining us on another wonderful adventure. Subscribe to us on YouTube, on the Twitters, on the Podomatics. We're at the Culture Jockeys. No. On Twitter, we're at Culture Jockeys. Hopefully, he'll add this little graphic here. At Culture Jockeys. And this little penis right here.
Not
in front of my face.
Not making
right in this area, there's a penis. Please, click on this if you think I'm awesome. Click on that if you think Savano's awesome. In other words, don't click on that. Click on this.
This is not happening.
Yes. That's great. So I'm Richard again. How do we sign off usually? Yeah. You can find me at Richard Nguyen and at GG Yolo Swag on Twitter.
K Can you once and for all tell me what your heritage is, please?
No. You need to find out for yourself.
Do I like need to grab your passport and shit, or is there
my passport doesn't say my heritage? I don't think
it doesn't. I don't know. I have never seen. I mean, I've like seen American passports, but like not. I haven't examined them closely enough to be able to say.
I've examined many a passport in my time in this game called Papers, Please. Where you're at the...
My name is Silvano D'Agostino. You can find me on Twitter at Silvano_D. And we will see you next week.
Peace.
Love you.
Dope.